All right, well, welcome to our discussion of the two Shemas. There's, of course, we know that there's something called the Shema. There's a second paragraph, which is very similar to the first paragraph, as we'll see, but also very different. And it's called Vayayim Shemo, the second paragraph of the Shema. And I'd like to compare the two this evening, the two Shemas. So let's get started with our presentation. All right, in order to begin this discussion, we need to see what I want to say is a strange passage in Brachot. We all know that in the Shema, it says, if you keep the mitzvot, then God will give you will give you grain, give you wheat, give you a tiroshcha, you give you your grape juice, and yitzarecha, give you your wine, your oil. So it sounds like if they keep the mitzvot, things will be good. Listen to this paragraph in Brachot 35b, 6th chapter. If a person is busy plowing at the time of plowing, planting at the time of planting, reaping at the time of reaping, winnowing at the time of winnowing, threshing at the time of threshing, how are they supposed to learn any Torah? Just to make a piece of bread, we'd never be able to learn Torah. We're always busy. Rather, it's like this. But and yet the Torah says that if you keep the commandments, he'll bless you and you'll gather your harvest. So he says, no. When the Jews follow the Torah, then the work will be done by others. As it says in Isaiah 61, strangers will stand up and feed your flocks. The foreigners will be your plowmen and your vine dressers. So everybody, all the goyim will do the work for us. However, the Jews don't follow will of God. Then you're stuck doing the work yourself. And that's what it says in the Shema. You have to gather it. Sometimes if things are really bad, you have to do the work that the others don't want to do. And you end up working for your enemies. What's strange about this paragraph? So, the Tosfos was asked a question. He says, what are you talking about? The Shema says that if you keep the commandments, then you will harvest your harvest. So it says specifically that when you follow God's command, you will harvest your harvest. Here it's saying that when we don't follow the commandments, then we'll harvest the harvest. So we need to answer this question. What in the world is going on here? How could Rav Shimon bar Yochai claim that Vayayim Shamoa is talking about a less than ideal state when it specifically says, if you keep the commandments, then you obey the commandments that I enjoin you this day, loving your God, and then you will gather your wheat. So how can he claim that gathering your wheat is a de facto, is post facto, is not ideal? What are you talking about? The Torah says that if you keep the commandments, that's what happens. Okay, so that's a question. Keep that question in your mind. We'll try to answer that question as best we can. Okay. All right. Now for the comparison. So on the right side, we have the Shema. On the second side, we have Vayayim Shamoa. We have the second paragraph of Shema. The Shema, let's look at similarities and differences. The idea of Shema Yisrael, that Moshe is talking to Israel, not necessarily. The paragraph of Vayayim Shemoa is written as if God is speaking. Although in Devarim, basically, it's Moshe speaking. The Vayayim Shemoa is in the voice of God. If you listen to my commandments, which I tell you today, more or less, it's written in God's voice. The Shema is written in, like in Deuteronomy, where Moshe is speaking to Israel. Anyway, that's a small point. Now, it does say Hashem Elokeinu, that God is our God. The other paragraph doesn't emphasize that God is our God, but it does say to love the Lord your God, Hashem, who is your God. So it does mention that, in which you have there in green. And if you listen to his commandments, it doesn't say that in the first paragraph necessarily, but it says to love God with all your heart and all of your soul. So it also says over here to love God with all of your heart and all of your soul. But of course, we've got a problem, because what about all your might? So in the first paragraph, it says all your might. Second paragraph, it just says b'chol nafshechem. One is in plural, one is in singular. First paragraph singular, second paragraph plural. But also there's no me'odecha. Why doesn't it say me'odecha? What is me'odecha? Here he says you all your might. That's a classic translation. I like to say it's all your oomph, all the extra things. No matter what God gives you, you thank him with anything he gives you, even bad things. You thank him for all things. All kinds of interpretations, what me'odecha means, maybe all your money, many different interpretations. But that third factor of how you should love God is not mentioned in the first paragraph. In the second paragraph, in Vayayim Shamoa, it is not mentioned. Only the two, your lev and nefesh, but doesn't mention your ma'od, which maybe is your money. Your Achayim and the Roshan Shuval Hirsch comment on this question of why is that, why doesn't it say all your might? So let's see, Or HaChaim came first, 1700. He did not mention that you should all your might. Why? Just like it says in Shema, Lafi. Why? Sheparsha Shema Nemra B'loshin Yochi. Since in singular, so the Gemara says that why does it have all your life, your heart, your soul, your ma'od, your money? He says some people, their ultimate worship would be if they gave their money for God, right? Your money, your life. They would, life is first. So they would, some people, their money is first. So depending who you are, if, since it's speaking to, the first paragraph is speaking to the individual. So therefore, it could be this one person who prefers his money over his life, right? Aval klolos atzibur. But if you talk about the plurality of the whole congregation, then in the second paragraph, nobody's crazy to put their money before their life. If they worship God with all their life, that's saying a lot. And certainly they would worship God with all their money. But since when you're talking to the individual, among the individuals, there are crazy people for whom money is most important. So for them, he says, even with your money as well, you have to worship. Okay. Because generally we say, it says in Iyob, call asher le'ishi tim bad nasho. People will give anything for their life. Okay. So that's why it says, nafshechem, that's the main thing. Okay. Certainly they give their money. You should worship God with all your life, even if God takes your life, even if you have to give your life for Judaism. But certainly you should give your money for Judaism. Okay. Rav Sham Shmuel Hirsch in the 19th century, he gave the following answer. Why does it not say me'odchem? Why doesn't it say with all your might? He says included in worship. You see, in the first paragraph, it doesn't say worship. In the second paragraph, it says ula avdo, to worship him. So worship him, that's included. Why is that included? Rav Hirsch says, Adoresh min adam shimush b'cholim tzad l'kium etzras Hashem. To worship God means like being a servant. And when you're a servant, you use all your faculties to do your work. B'chol v'achum v'chol nashchem, the second paragraph, all your heart and all your soul, that's to show you how you do avodah. How do you... should do it with all your heart. But what is avoida? Avoida is ma'od, is giving your last oomph, all of your oomph for the occasion, for the worship of God. So he thinks it's not necessary in the second paragraph. So according to Or HaChaim, it's because there's a distinction of plural singular. That's why one mentions the ma'od and the other one doesn't. According to Rav Hirsch, it's implied in the second paragraph through the idea of worship, because worship is with everything you got. Now, the next section is only in the second Shema, what I'm calling the second Shema, in other words, second paragraph Shema, in other words, Vayayim Shema. What does it say? If you keep the commandments, then I'll give you the two types of rain in the season, be it the rain of the right time, rabbis say it might even fall on Friday night when everyone's sleeping, and Yored, some of the hard rain to get into the deep into the dirt. Malkosh, the soft rain is good for the little plants. Savdi Ganecha, you could gather your wheat, as we said before, and your tirosh, your grape juice, which turns to wine, and Mitzarecha, and your oil. So this is what happens if you keep the commandments, you get rain, and then you could have crops. And then I'll give grass in the field for your animals as well, which shows you that the feeding your animals is very important. And then you can go eat. You can't eat, as the rabbis say, until you feed your animals. But anyway, it means we'll have enough food. Shamu lachem, however, watch out. Pen yiftel avachem, lest you turn your heart, resartem, and you turn away, avadem lukim lachem. Sometimes Rabbi Dul, as my teacher said, you turn away a little bit from God, you land out. You say, oh, just a little bit. I land out sometimes, you're landing out worshiping other idols. You land out bowing down to them. God will get mad at you. If you turn to worship other gods, God will shut up the heavens. There won't be rain. There won't be any produce for the land. You'll be wiped out quickly from the land, the beautiful land, the good land that God has given you. So that section about the covenant, if you keep the commandments, you don't keep the commandments, what happens in this case, that case, it's only in the second ones, not in the first ones. Why not? What's the difference? What's going on? We will have to get back to that in a moment. I apologize for that typo. So I'm having a problem with my bees today. But in any event, then we have the idea of putting the mitzvot on your heart. So it's similar. One says, these words should be on your heart. The other one says, and you should place them on your heart. What is it you should be on your heart? That's a more ethereal kind of thing. And the other one is you place them on their heart. That means talking about the tefillin. You should actually physically put them on your heart. The first paragraph says on your heart. The other one says this time, the second paragraph is more expansive. Your heart and on your soul. So it's interesting. Why does it mention that? And then the kshadim al-dechav is vabirinecha. That's more or less the same. The tefillin on the hand and on the head, that's more or less the same in both cases. It's a different spelling for Totafot. Okay. More or less the same. But you'll notice that it's interposed with the learning. See, the verse that's not in, that's on the right side, to teach your children, which we'll talk about in a second, that's not found in the second paragraph. It's separate. You have the idea of putting it on your heart, which is tefillin. And the first paragraph, we say, no, put it on your heart. It's in general. It's a metaphor concept. And then you teach it to your children because it's on your heart. Share with them your heart. And then you should put the tefillin on your heart. But in the second paragraph, it's more superficial. You put the words literally on your heart, which is tefillin. So it's a little different. When we talk about learning, so let's compare those two verses, even though they're in a different order. The first paragraph says, Shinanzam, you should make the words sharp. You're going to get that B problem. You should make these words sharp on the to your children. In other words, you got to make it clear to your children. And you should speak about them. Rashi says, whenever you're speaking, as soon as the child can speak, you start talking to them about the Torah, about Hebrew and Torah and verses. And whether no matter where you are, you could be at home, you could be on the road, you could be getting up, going to sleep. In other words, all the time. Second paragraph, rather than saying shinantam, which is an unusual expression having to do with sharpness, impression, she uses a more pedestrian expression, limadtam. You teach it to your children. And again, no matter when and no matter where you are, you teach them. Good. The mezuzah, exactly the same in both paragraphs. And then the final salvo of the second paragraph, which is, of course, longer, says you should do all these things in order to lengthen your days on the land. So again, the notion that you don't just put the tefillin on, but it's all in order to lengthen your days on the land. It's all a matter of reward and punishment. Okay. So let's try to understand what's the relationship of these different mitzvot, these different paragraphs. So there's a Mishnah in Bracha that actually addresses the relationship of these paragraphs and says like this: why do you put the Shema first? Why do I want to? The truth is, the third paragraph of Shema, which we're not talking about tonight, is found in Bamidbar, previous to these paragraphs. So you don't tell me that the paragraphs are in order. They're not in order. So what order are they in? So he says, look, you have to mekabel ol malchus shamayim tchilah. The essence of Shema, according to the rabbis, is to accept, not that there's one God or love God, no, to accept the yoke of heaven. That's how the rabbis understand the Shema. And then the yoke of mitzvot, that you have to do mitzvot, that's the second paragraph. So that's for the rabbis, that's their distinction. One is the yoke of heaven, that God is our God. Second, to actually do the mitzvot. So it's sort of a two-step process. First, he is your God. Secondly, that's what the Mishnah says. Going back to that question, why does it say with all your heart? It doesn't say all your might. So Rashi says, you already told me that. So he says, no, there's a difference in the first paragraph and the second paragraph. The first paragraph is talking about learning. The second paragraph is talking about doing. Like the rabbi said, it's about mitzvos, about doing mitzvah ovdo, to worship God, the mitzvot. So he thinks the second paragraph is more about doing. So that he says, that's why in the second paragraph, it says, watch out. You may turn away. Maybe in the first paragraph, turn away. He says, no, no, no. Since the first paragraph is about learning, if a person isn't learning, he's not going to get turned away. So what do you mean? A lot of people learn and then they get turned away from Torah. Yeah, but the Torah itself, they keep learning. The Torah itself, the light inside the Torah will bring them back to God. So even if you're having a bad day and doing some sins, if you're still learning, the light in the Torah will bring you, wake you up and bring you back to where you're supposed to be. So therefore, in the first paragraph, it's talking about learning. Again, this is a rabbinic interpretation. I'm not sure it's so simple in the simple reading of the text. But if you accept the idea that the first paragraph is about learning, second paragraph is about action. So doing mitzvot, you say, oh, I'm doing mitzvot. Yeah, but if you get off on the wrong track, your yetzer, your evil inclination, you're going to be on the wrong track. But if you're learning, then even though if you got off the track and you're doing sins, since you're still learning, it brings you back. The light in the Torah brings you back to good things. That's why it doesn't need to talk about warnings in the second paragraph. So now we're getting to a little bit of where I want to go. That, oh, I see. So the first paragraph, in the first paragraph, you don't get off track. You're in better shape in the first paragraph. You're grounded in learning. So there's something better about the first paragraph. What's the difference between all these paragraphs? So it's been suggested that the second paragraph is more about fear. Right? Why should you keep the mitzvah? Because if you don't, we chased out of the land. Why should you keep the mitzvah? And you'll have length of days on the land. But the first paragraph is about love. Why do we love our wives? Why do we love our kids? There's no reason. It doesn't work. One is communal, one is individual. It's important to remember that every day we make commitment as individuals, we make commitment on the communal level. Some say that, you know, as American Jews, we don't appreciate the communal level as much. Everything we do is for ourselves. In Israel, a lot of what you do, especially sending your kids to the army, it's about the community, it's not about you. In America in general, everything's about the individual. So therefore, these two paragraphs are different commitments. Our commitment as individuals to God, our commitment communally, which again, if you're not in Israel, it's less appreciated. Now, we got a big problem with the second paragraph. And you'll notice that some non-Orthodox groups have skipped saying the second paragraph. They don't say the second paragraph. Why not? Well, I don't know why they don't, but it's true. There's a big problem in the second paragraph. I could see how somebody might not like it. Why? Read the book of Job. What does it say? It says we have no idea how reward and punishment works in this world. We know there's reward and punishment, but we don't understand it. We know as much about how reward and punishment works like the hole in the head. We don't know. So how can we say that the world works the way it works in Vayayim Shamoa? How can we say that? That's not how it works. We don't know how it works at all. Sometimes in the days of Ahab, the Jews had a good time. He was a great king, but he was a terrible, terrible Jew, terrible sinner. So how could you say that the Jews were successful? It doesn't make sense. So we need to see the Ramban. What does Ramban say? Ramban says that individually, hold on a second. Individually, it's true that sometimes it's hard to know exactly how reward and punishment works, but collectively there is reward and punishment. We look over here in the Ramban. Ramban says as follows. Ki Hashem lo yasan isim tomi latiz mata aretz b'choli ramah b'losim b'dog b'zirosh. I was going to be, you're not always going to have good stuff. It depends about most of the people, but the individual in the first paragraph, he lives by his own way. So the second paragraph is telling us that the hashgacha, the way the world works, is based on the majority of people. So that's how could the paragraph claim that if everything's good, then everything will be good. So the Ramban, I think, is giving a little bit of an answer. He says, well, look, it may not work that way individually. Job, we don't have an answer. But communally, that's how it works. Something like that. Okay, let's continue. Back to the Gemara. So now we have to go back to the very first Gemara that we had. How could we say that Vayayim Shemoa, if you keep the commandments, you'll collect the wheat? Shimon Yochai says, collect the wheat. I don't want to collect the wheat. I want to learn Torah. So he says, oh, that's because the Jews are not doing the commandments. But says Tosfos, what are you talking about? Allah, come on. Bizman Jain Yisrael is your eternal makom mukbile. He says, if the Jews are not doing the worship, the work of God, what are you talking about? The paragraph of Shema is talking about when they were doing the worship work of God. So he says, it's true that in the paragraph of the Shema, the Jews are keeping the Torah, but they're not keeping it completely. Why? Because we said before, they're keeping it out of fear, but not out of love. You keep it out of fear, you have to work. You keep the Torah out of love, maybe Rav Shimon Yochai would be right. We wouldn't have to work at all. It wouldn't have to work hard. So this gives us a key to understand this whole question. The question was, what's the relationship of these two paragraphs? The answer is that the first paragraph is purely about love. The second is about love, but it's also about worship and working, worshiping God like a servant, not as like a child who's a loving child, but rather as like a servant who's doing it out of fear. And therefore, the whole paragraph is not ideal. The whole idea of worshiping God because of punishment, that itself is not ideal, and shows that we're not dealing with an ideal type of thing. And that's how Shimon Chai could audaciously claim that this paragraph is talking about the Jews are not doing God's will, because it's not the ideal will of God. It's not an ideal paragraph. Going a step further, we might say that Shema is in Bat Chanan, and Vayayim Shema is in Ekev. What difference does that make? The Shema is in the context of the Jews receiving the Ten Commandments. And the Jews receiving the Ten Commandments was a good thing. From that perspective, we should love God. It's fine. But the Vayayim Shema is in Ekev, where we just talked about the golden calf. In that context, then we have to worship. We have to put a little fear of God into us in order to fully appreciate the mitzvot. So I suggested that the two paragraphs are different in as much as they suggest a different type of worship of God, one out of love and one out of fear. Similar suggestion we mentioned in the Rashi here, that the first paragraph is talking about learning, which is that ultimate love comes from learning. Second one is talking about doing. And that's why we saw a distinction regarding the tefillin. The first paragraph talks about just putting it on your heart, teaching it to your children. It's very sincere. Then you put it, make it in the tefillin. But the first paragraph is more profound. The second paragraph is more perfunctory. You know, you take these words, you stick them on your heart. And, you know, right? So it's a little bit different than the first one. Also, the first paragraph, the idea of putting it on your heart It's connected to your learning. The learning comes from your heart. It's out of love. In the second paragraph, the learning is just part of something more artificial. Your heart, and you teach it to your children, teaching like in a perfunctory, almost like a professional kind of way. Whereas the first one, he's talking about something much more acute, something much more sharp, much more effective than standard teaching. Something impressive upon your children, something deeper. So maybe that's because the first paragraph is a more ideal sort of situation. So every day as we say the Shema, the two Shemas, we should remember that one is about our personal responsibility, one is about our collective responsibility, one is about our personal story, one is about our national story. One is about worshiping God from love, and one from fear. And the truth is, every day, you know, we could experience a little bit of both. So we need both the love and fear at all times. Fear is not a bad thing. Yirat Shamayim is not a bad thing. Love of God is higher, but we need that fear as well. Sometimes when you're inclined to get off the path, you need that. You need the fear as well. Hopefully, it's through Torah that we were inspired, not just by the negativity of punishment. All right, that's our discussion of the two Shemas, two paragraphs of Shema, their relationship and interrelationship. All right, well, thank you all for joining us.